Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
I honestly grow insecure as I get older. Cause even when you hot, there comes a day when you get colder. Comes a day when you slower. Time is taking its toll. 45 on the back of the jersey upon your soul. I'm scared of letting go. I don't know what the future holds. My nightmares are having nightmares. I'm quite scared of what's right and fair. How I fare in eternity. Will I hear well done when he turned to me? Will I hear you care too much about all this stuff that really don't matter? You chase the wind and you want it. Got to the top of a 2-foot ladder. What's after? I can capture all this mess. My heart was after. Will I end up empty-handed when I stand before my master? Did I master the mathematics of a passive disaster? Adding my selfish ambition, all the while subtracting what matters.
Ain't no nights I can't sleep. Will I fall? Will I peek through the curtains all I see? Fingers pointed at me, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it, and they watch it, and I'm wondering what they thinking, thinking about. Late nights I can't sleep, counting cash, counting cheese.
I remember a couple times I couldn't back that up. Like when I ran from them vatos, scuffing up my zapatos, scared of losing my hide. I was so embarrassed inside. If I could go back in time, I would stand and say something like, I ain't never scared, never scared, never scared. I'm lying, I'm scared of these thoughts in my head. I'm scared of possibly pushing people right over the ledge. When I say I pledge allegiance to the struggle, then I turn around and buckle under stress and under pressure. Fly below my dresser that could teach my pain a lesson, but I'd rather not address it. Address is in depression. I'm scared if I confess it that you gon' look at me like I'm something less, and I'm such a mess.
Celui qui a peur d'admettre ses craintes et celui qui ne pourra pas les surmonter. On trouve la liberté dans la confession et la liberté dans la reconnaissance.
And it just so happens I'm wrestling with my status. I'm trying to see me like he do, not focusing on his madness. They count me out on the counter, they fear and doubt. Keep a count of my wrongs, trying to keep me inside their house. Some just keep me around, gotta wonder what that's about. Yeah, they want to be politically correct, I suppose. But I'm comfortable in my skin while they just pretending they close. I'm scared of falling and failing in front of all of my foes. And I feel some friends are unfaithful, so I keep my small circle closed. I don't want no handouts or favors, no function, no favors. I'ma tell that truth till it kill me, and I'm chilling with my creator. Jesus, 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 Jesus to all of my haters. For the ones who think I forgot them and the ones who won't let me say it, I ain't getting no more.
その先に自由は存在し、恐怖は解き放たれる。
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, children of all ages, thank you for joining us for another riveting edition of Live Without the Geek. It is Make It Funny Monday, and it is Make It Funny Monday, and we're back live. We're thankful for being able to broadcast at the beginning of another week. We hope and pray that your weekend was great and that you got what you needed on yesterday in abundance. Today, it is Making Funny Monday. I want to get to that sound clip I've been promoting for about a week and never played it. We're going to get to that today. I want to talk a little bit about this stellar weekend for Pi. We're going to talk about them around 10:30. We're going to open up some phone lines because I really want to get into the commentary on does saying that all lives matter somehow cheapen or lessen Black Lives Matter. With the things of Paris and University of Missouri, Mazowie, and the rash of course, police killings that are still going forward. We're going to discuss all of that, but we're going to get to that part at the second half of the show, right around 10:30-ish Eastern Standard Time. We're going to get to that. But we're going to talk a little bit about Pi, Patti LaBelle. And her probably going to discuss that. So might as well get started the way we do. This is Live with Dr. D.
Let's have a discussion. Let's talk about something. Real talk radio. Ain't no funny. A church with our walls. A hottest talk show. Real talk with the Dr. Davenport. Let's get it poppin', music got me hoppin', who you represent, ain't no stoppin', come on, let's go, I'm in the zone, can't get enough, turn it
real
up,
talk, what's like a diving for?
Real talk,
what's like a diving for?
Real talk,
what's like a diving for?
Monday through Friday from 10 to 12, I'm in the zone.
Real talk,
what's like a diving for?
Real talk,
what's like a diving for?
Rook City, Dr. D live. Good morning, Rook. How was your weekend?
Doc, my weekend was long, Doc. Couldn't wait for the show today.
Well, that must mean you got a lot to say.
Yeah, actually, I just
guess not.
Like the fellowship, Doc. I like the fellowship, Doc.
All right. Well, I know some folk had a long weekend in a good way, and we pray again that something has been said that helped you on the weekend. But we're back Monday. We're kicking and we're live and we're in color. I don't know if you're aware of this, the internet was almost broken over the weekend. They almost broke the internet. First thing was that caught my attention was, you know, Patti LaBelle has endorsed a pie dessert. I'm not peach cobbler, that's not a pie, but it's not pumpkin pie. Well, sweet potato pie. Thank you. Thank you, self. Sweet potato pie. And apparently this guy, I don't know his name, of course, he did a video talking about how good that Patti's pies were. And his video talking about how much he enjoyed Patti's pies went viral. And over the weekend, Walmart kept selling out of Patti's pies. And this morning, I saw a sticker that said that Patti LaBelle, her pies made $2.5 million over the weekend because everybody was trying to buy Patti's pies. Did you hear anything about this?
No, I thought that had something to do with the Paris thing, man. I didn't know that was Patti LaBelle. I seen it on Facebook, man.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Paris. We're gonna bring that in about 20 minutes or so when we deal with as all lives matter somehow get away from all Black Lives Matter. But yeah, but these ties have generated memes, videos, testimonies, praise reports. And I tell you, it made a person like me have the desire to find out what all the hype is about. I need to find out how good this pie is. Apparently, people have been eating the pies off the shelves at in the store. They pay for them, apparently, but the shocking thing is those pies apparently have to be heated up, you know, and they're eating them right off the shelf. That's how supposedly these, how good these pies are. And so I guess us talking about it is, again, more publicity for Patty and her pies. But, of course, there are a lot of people, of course, less than anything, who don't like, who never had the pie but don't want anybody to don't really want anybody else to have any success. But the reason I wanted to discuss it is because if the number is right, the figure is right, or even if it's close, in a matter of just 2 days, 2 or 3 days, for one product, Patti LaBelle's pies, to generate $2.5 million. I need to say that slower. For pie, not even whole pie, slices of pie, $2.5 million over a weekend. This isn't about a movie that's played in 100 theaters around the world or around the country. This is about a slice of pie. Look how much money one person's name. Again, of course, the quality of the product is good, you know, that's well too. But look at the economic power that we have. How powerful influence and money is. $2.5 million in a weekend? That's huge.
That's crazy.
That's huge. Especially if you look at the amount of money that we spend for different holidays, things like that. And this is before Thanksgiving. Well, maybe it has to do with it too. But sales are really going to increase. That's all I'm trying to tell you. There's something to that, man. There's something that we're missing. There's an avenue that we have when it comes to spending that amount of money in one weekend over something that we're going to eat. I want to talk about Patty's pies because it is definitely something to really look at. All right, listen, what we're going to do now, and I'm going to segue here, and I want to play this song because I really can't discuss more about the pies because the memes and things. If you've been on Facebook or Instagram, you've seen some of this stuff. People are outside of their minds, and they're creating wars between Patti LaBelle and Aretha Franklin and all this stuff, and they got Patti endorsing other stuff, and you know it's funny, I guess, because I'm not in it, but I'm stuck at 2.5. Like I said, I've not had the pie. I don't know what it tastes like. I don't know if this Patti's recipe or not, or if she just likes it and used her image to endorse it. I don't know. But millions of dollars over pie is something to behold. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Listen, we're gonna go back, and I'm gonna actually, you know what? This is no over the goodie. And after this song, we're going to hear the sound clip I've been talking about. And that sound clip again, Nephew Tommy actually pranking Steve Harvey is gonna be a good listen. So we're going to play a song, and then we're going to go right to that sound clip, and then we're going to come back, and we'll be ready for the second half of our show.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day. And it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. But where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt me, I smile.
morning.
Before I play the sound clip, I wanted to say to you out there listening, Kurt said it like this: you look better when you smile. But in this life, smiling sometimes becomes a chore and a job in itself, becomes a difficult thing to accomplish. Sometimes you can't smile because your face is so weak from crying. Your face muscles are so weak, so sore, you can't muster the strength to actually crease your lips to smile. But the intent of the song and what I want to convey is that, you know, you have to rely on that strength that comes from within, that strength of character that touches and mingles with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the love of God. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you don't have the flowery words to express that love. Sometimes you just have to rely on it, know that you're loved, and know that somewhere, although you feel abandoned and feel alone, know that there are people who care for you. And do all you can to just survive while you can survive. and know that you will thrive again. And learn, and I shouldn't say learn. What I want to say is effort to smile on the inside first. Smiling on the inside first will give you the stamina and strength to increase your faith and smile on the outside. There is so much to be thankful for, so much to give God praise and glory for, so much to inspire us, but oftentimes we get distracted by what we see. And whether what we see is something we caused or whether something we see is something bestowed upon us or thrust upon us, the reality of it is our sight will get blinded, sidetracked, and even skewed. And we have to be the ones to refocus our lenses to really, really, really let our light so shine. And that light of ours shines best through our smile. I want to touch and agree with you that struggles may be pressing you down a bit, a little hard, a lot hard, difficult. But you survived this long. You have thrived this long. You're not dead yet. I'm talking about dead in the mental and dead in the spiritual. It's obvious you're not dead in the physical. No matter what ailments you may have, there's still strength to persevere inside of you. You have to ride that train now. You have to hold fast and let it carry you out of this situation. For, as the commonly is said, your current situation is nowhere close to your ultimate destination. For you serve a God. If you serve a God, then you know his plan for you. And if you fell out of serving him, then get back in line with him. Stop making excuses. Stop trying to justify not having the strength that you know you're entitled to because you want to blame it on somebody else. No, no, no. Sometimes you got to get right yourself and get back in line. So if you fell out of serving him, it's time to change some things. Get back into your prayer life. Get back in your Bible. Find your Bible-believing church that's going to love on you and then grow in God and get your smile back because we in the world need your smile just as much as you need to smile. So I wanted to throw that in there. Hopefully it helps you for who's intended, whoever you may be, all around radio land. God bless you. All right. Now this. I hope I didn't overhype it, but I found this to be hilarious. This is a clip of Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, actually pranking Steve Harvey himself. It starts off real fast. I'm going to apologize for all the bleeps and the language that may be found in this clip, but I thought it was hilarious, and you can tell me what you think right here on Live with Dr. D.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying to you right now that he's cutting on everybody. He's snitching on everybody.
That ain't got nothing to do with me, man. That ain't my book. That's his damn book.
Put him on the phone then. I'll tell him. I ain't nobody scared of Steve.
He ain't writing about you.
Yeah, he did. He done told on me. He done told on all my boys. He's telling on everybody, man.
Hey, dog, his book ain't got nothing to do with you, man.
No, but his book do got something to do with me because everything that Steve done learned as he was growing up from the hood, telling on everybody, and I'm tired of this. He ought to go somewhere and sit down.
Hey, dog, you got to get your right with your girl.
Listen, if he's schooling my girl, he ain't got no business coming in my house, in my car, telling every damn thing.
Hello? Who is this? Hold on, man. This Steve Harvey. Who is this?
This is Chuck P, man. Listen here, man. Okay, I was on the phone with your nephew, and I'm just saying this to you, Steve. Okay? All love to you, dude. I see you on the front of Essence. I see you on the Family Feud, on your radio show. You got your so why don't you take your and go somewhere and sit out and quit telling on everybody.
Wait.
And I mean this on everything, Steve. I'm riding in the car with my family. Every time that come on, I got to turn my radio off because you telling game. We grew up sticking together. My ain't together like yours. You got your together. If I'm running a little game to make my ends meet or whatever it is, that's my business.
Dog.
You ain't got no business telling
on
me.
Hold on. Wait a minute. First of all, I don't know who you are.
I know you don't, but I know who you are, and we listen to the show. Okay.
Hold on. First thing you're going to do, though, back up a little bit, dog, because you're talking to me crazy.
Hey, Steve, ain't nobody scared of you because you got money.
Whoa. Hey, this ain't got nothing to do with no money, and I ain't going to be too many more.
So listen, Steve, you got your money, so why don't you go somewhere and sit down somewhere and just enjoy your life. You found the perfect wife for you. You found the perfect person, the perfect relationship. Okay, that's good. God bless you.
Don't put God in this. Leave God out of this, because you ain't calling from the God angle. See, people kill me with that part right right there. God bless you. Don't throw God. You don't want God to bless me because you're talking too crazy to me. That's for starters right there. But since you're talking crazy to me, let me turn you on to something. You out there running game, that's your problem. Run your game. You can't get mad at me because I'm doing what I do. See, man, like y'all kill me. You out there doing what you want to do, like you all of this right here, then you coming to me because I'm trying to empower somebody. I don't give a damn about you, man. Feel how you want to feel about me, but what you ain't going to do, though, is talk to me like you crazy, because I ain't that.
Wait a minute, Steve. Let's make the playing field fair, okay? You got the airwaves. You got the microphone. You got the ability to touch a lot of people, okay? And you just telling. You're a walkie-talkie.
Hold up. This ain't got nothing to do with the airwaves. This ain't got nothing to do with the media. This just me and you talking. I can talk to you personally. Personally, me and you can talk. Anytime you want to.
Listen, Steve,
just
talk like me and then.
You call. You talking all this yak. See, it's people like you, man. Dog, you know why I wrote a book in the first place. Because you're always somewhere with your side busted trying to act like you're something that you ain't. Now you got the source on the phone. Now you trying to make about money and the meat. This is me and you just two men talking. Not what you want.
Then if it's two men then talking then from one man to another, why don't you just go somewhere and sit down and quit telling?
First of all, I ain't got to sit down. You already sitting on your doing nothing as it is. See, but soon as somebody go out and do something, try to do something positive, you got some old shaking, bake, chili wag, chitlin' like you sitting up in here, man, wanting to go sit down somewhere. I ain't going sitting down no damn where. You can miss me with that. I say what I want to say. And who are you anyway? You ain't even doing nothing.
And don't tell me I ain't doing nothing. I tell you what I am doing. I'm trying to do something, but every time I take a step, you take two steps. Oh, I can't.
Hey, y'all kill me. Why don't you quit trying and do something? You all kill me, man, with that old you trying, always trying to do something. Why don't you do something, dog? Why don't you take your monkey somewhere and do something? You shouldn't have been here talking to me about what you trying. You probably selling that same thing to your people. You trying. When are you tired of me and trying still? When are you going to do something?
I'm doing something right now, Steve.
Right now you're talking to me on the phone. You could be improving your relationship with your girl or whoever you're trying to get it together with, but you're on the phone with me complaining because I done wrote a book. Man, don't read the damn book. You probably ain't read it no way. And don't watch the TV show because your name probably ain't working enough to pay the bill no how.
Hey, let me wait a minute, dude. You don't know nothing about me, okay? You don't know nothing about my finances. You don't know how
I ain't money. About you your finances. This about you as
Steve,
a man.
All you
man, you know what y'all can hear what y'all do to me. Hear what y'all do to me. Y'all always talking to me on an email somewhere. You're always on the blog talking about me. You don't even know me. Then when you get me face to face, you want to bring up money. This conversation ain't got nothing to do about money. I ain't bought a money one time. It's about manhood. Now, why don't you do that right there?
Wait a minute. No, Steve, it ain't about money now because you got it. Okay, because you got it. When your was broke, I bet that wasn't your attitude.
Well, guess what, though? Hey, man, guess what, though? When I was broke, though, I was working. I wasn't sitting on the phone crying to some other man about what he making me feel with my wife. Yeah, every time I take a step forward, you got me taking two steps up. Man, you. Your punk take a step back because you getting knocked back because you ain't. That's why you ain't taking a step. What?
Give me this, man.
Oh, man, him.
Can I tell you something? You just got pranked, though. I'm seeing you. I just pranked the man. I finally got the
Ladies and gentlemen, Uncle Steve has been pranked. Oh, God.
Chuck, I'm going to call you back, dog.
On
Oh, God, praise the Lord. Thank you for that. I've been talking, and I didn't realize that I wasn't heard. Thank you for waiting. We're still live, and I apologize for that. Rook, God bless you. I brought you in right after the Steve Harvey clip to ask you what you thought about that.
Man, Steve Harvey was being real. It's like he needed to sit on somebody's couch, Doc. It's like he was going through something. He needed to get that out.
It did sound
like
it
like
did
you just wait
like
on this avenue, you know, dog. Like, I just can't wait for somebody to say something.
That's true. I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing. So, other than that, did you enjoy the clip?
Yes, Doc, I enjoyed the clip. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, that's not Nephew Tommy. He got somebody else pranking him. Okay, all right.
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. All right. Listen, the phone lines are open now, 516-387-1299, 516-387-1299. It is that time. I asked a question. I posted on social media. Don't know what's going on with my voice. It just sounds so hyper last couple weeks. I don't know what's going on with that. But social media on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, I asked a question. When you say, when a black person says all lives matter, are they cheapening? Are we cheapening the black lives matter? Are we somehow anti-black lives when we say all lives matter? And I ask that question because there was such an outcry. And if you've been on social media over the weekend, you heard about two things. You heard about Patty's Pies, and then you may have seen the argument from seemingly people of faith, the slaughter of innocent people in Paris over the weekend has started an international outcry. And you've seen, and Facebook has, as it does, created an app where for its users, that you can overlay your profile picture with the French flag, French national flag. And so there were people, I guess pro Black Lives Matter, who went on a tear and gave tremendous social media backlash to the people who actually used the app. And you heard things like, where was the Somalia app? How come you didn't ask for prayers for the students of Mazawi like we're doing for Paris? And it became such a terrible thing. And I watched this thing, and I'm looking at people argue about who to pray for, because there was one side that basically said, why are we asking for prayers for people in Paris when there's so much tragedy, calamity, and terrorist attacks here in the United States? And so in response to that, it was almost as if black folk in America were at war with black folk in Paris, because then the internet was flooded with all the memes and the pictures coming from Paris when Mike Brown got killed. You know, folk in Paris got together
and the hell sign, the head rallies, Black Lives Matter, hands up, don't shoot. When Eric Garner was killed in New York, folks in Paris had signs, had rallies, I can't breathe, you know. And so Paris, and not just folks of color in Paris, but the city of Paris has always shown an affinity toward Black people. A lot of, and that's historic. A lot of our poets, authors of old, took refuge in Paris. Alec Baldwin, and I can't think of the lady's name, C.J. Walker, Madam C.J. Walker. You know, they lived over there. Just name a few. But to me, the bigger issue was, why is it, and here's my question to you, Rook, why is it that me loving my race requires me to hate everybody else? That's what I want to ask. That's what I want to find out. That's the conversation I would like to have today on this episode of Live with Dr. D. And the phone lines are open, 516-387-1299, 516-387-1299. Why can't I ask for prayers for other people? That don't mean I'm going to stop praying for myself.
Well, Doc, to me, when it's like when they say Black Lives Matter, you're just talking about one race. When the truth of the matter, all lives do matter. But when you say Black Lives Matter, it's just saying Black lives.
Yeah.
Mexicans, not white, not, you know. Just
right,
black.
That's true.
Like, at the end of the day, I look at it as all lives matter. I've seen a few people at work come in with their shirts and they say Black Lives Matter. I had another lady ask me, you know, she was looking for a slogan. And she was like, you know, she was trying to get young Black people to vote. And she was like, should I use Black Lives Matter? And I was like, if you want Black people to vote, yeah. But if you want more than just Black people to vote, then no. Because you need more than just Black people. I don't think that would have been a good slogan for her. And she understood my point when I said it, but, you know, it's just the principle. Everybody's using this slogan now, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. When the police was killing Black people, like, it ain't like it stopped, but that's when it came out, Black Lives Matter. Well, like I said in the beginning, all lives matter. It ain't just Black lives, it's white lives and Asian lives, and, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
That thing that happened in Paris, it wasn't just on Black people.
That's true. Now, I heard it said like this. I heard one person, and I thought they articulated their point very well, and I hope me repeating it does some justice, but their point was one of the proponents for Black Lives Matter said that, yes, all lives matter. It's just that all lives are not being assaulted by the police, and at the time that's what it was, being assaulted by the police. Latinos aren't being put on the side of the road and wind up dead for smoking cigarettes, you know. Japanese Americans aren't, you know, being thrown in jail and dying by suicide. That's not happening to any other race as it is with African Americans.
Stop.
And
you can't say that. It's just not being publicized. It might be happening. We can't say it's not happening. It just brings more media when it's a Black person compared to, say, if it was an Asian. They wouldn't put that on the news because, you know, it ain't that really. It might be a large popularity, but it's not going to outweigh the Blacks in America. So when you put a Black getting killed in jail and it looks suspicious, yeah, it's going to be more so news-wise compared to being either Asian or Mexican or, you know what I'm saying? But this stuff is happening to more than just us. It's happening to white people, too.
I knew that.
It's not being televised like it is when it comes to Black people.
But I think it also can be said, to your point, I think it also can be said, well, maybe not to your point, but I agree with you. But I think it can be said that if it was happening on the same scale, if white people or Arab Americans were being killed at the rate and the frequency of Blacks in police custody, for example, then it would have to be reported because you couldn't keep that quiet. That's what I'm saying there. You know, and so yeah, you're right. Black folks are the topic of the day. And, of course, you know, African-Americans, I want to look at what's happening to African-Americans because it seemed to affect us, per se. But I was bothered this weekend. I really was. I was really bothered because people were having arguments about who to pray for. And I saw a couple of statuses and a couple of comments, and one I thought was, you know, was well put. You know, worry about who you're praying to, you know, and stop worrying about who other folks are praying for, you know. It just, I don't know, Doc. I said all the time, man, and let me cut no corners, you know, with this. There's an assault going on the American public as a whole. There's a lot of distraction going on. There are a lot of things. Somebody somewhere realized that the public has an insatiable appetite for drama. And so that's what they give us, drama. And then you got people on the sidelines who manipulate these things. You know, you got people. I mean, you got rebel rousers and people that stir up trouble. Computer programmers, man, that can Photoshop stuff and put it out there, and then people see this Photoshop image, won't do any research, don't do any reading, don't even inquire, and see the image and just run with it. You know. And so that ignorance, further the ignorance of not having information, further perpetuates this insatiable need for drama. And there's some other things going on. There's some huge things going on. People losing their lives at the hand of police is huge. Don't get me wrong. You can't minimize death, just like you cannot minimize the deaths over in Paris. That's huge. With ISIS, whether they were created by the U.S. government or not, because the U.S. government has created a whole lot of terrorist groups and then had to go back and try to fix it. The U.S. government has had a lot of information about things that has happened before it was going to happen, and either did nothing or could do nothing. And we can argue all day whether they could or should or whatever. But, man, there's some huge things going on. And all you do is read the paper, you know, because they don't put it on broadcast TV. And I can't get people to understand this. They don't put it on broadcast TV. They put it in paper. They put it in print. Because I don't know who it was, and somebody who's listening to the show can tell me, but somebody had a quote. Somebody was quoted and said a long time ago, if you want to hide something from black people, put it in a book. That's what they said. If you want to hide something from black people, put it in the book. Now, we know we can educate black people, so, you know, that's not, but that was the mentality at the time. That's when it was said. And for the most part, it's true. Because, you know, like I do, if there's an article in the video, most folks will watch the video and not read the article. You know, that's because it's easier. But, man, I think we're being played, Doc. I really do. I think we're being played. I think we're being played, and there's some people that's taking advantage of this thing. There's some people that want calamity. There are people that want a race war. Why is that? I don't understand that. They want a race war. They want drama. Oh, man. And here's the thing. Here's my thing as I go on a little rant here. The people that's trying to manipulate the truth, the people – and there's some truth fighters out there, Rook. There's some people who really want equality. They want better for their people. And there's nothing wrong with that. They want to see African Americans live out their full potential. There's nothing wrong with that. There's some that want to be separate and equal. That's their opinion. There's some that want everybody to be together, which is the law, which is fine too. But there's some people who just want drama, and because they get notoriety, they get a name for themselves, they get that, and those are the folks you got to watch out for. They're the same type of people that say, okay, let's march, knowing they're really going to riot, and they're the same ones that start throwing cocktails and burn up their own stuff. Same ones, you know. And we just readily follow behind them. And then we ask the question about leadership. We'll say, well, people are scared because they don't want to get killed. Well, if a righteous leader is afraid, now why do we follow the book of who want to burn up my house? I'm out here marching with you, too. Why I got to burn up my store, my barbershop, my bank? You know? Oh, that's the question, and I'm going to ask you. 516, I'm asking all this too, 516-387-1299. The question is, hold on, isn't saying all Black Lives Matter racist in itself? Rook, is saying Black Lives Matter racist?
Yeah. You can look at it like that.
right? Maybe you're going to get a little more. Yeah.
But it's like, seeing, like I said, you're singling out one race, huh? You're focused only on one race. Like I said, it's more than one race in the world. So when you single out just one race, whether it's for the good or the bad, it makes it racist.
Has been a racist a bad thing? Let me flip that. Has been a racist a bad thing?
Being a racist?
A racist, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's like, yeah. It's like you can't really discriminate against one race, or just, you know, that's like, yeah. Because if it was a white person,
a racist just have to describe. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, if it was a white person on the show seeing how great their race was and White Lives Matter, a bunch of black people have a problem with that. Because they think that he's just a racist and he's making his race more superior than any other race.
And that's what I mean about the ignorance of a thing. What's the difference between a racist, when you and I are just talking, what's the difference between a racist and a pianist? You know, a person that's very proficient at playing the piano. Because a pianist is someone who's considered to be an expert at playing the piano. But a racist isn't someone considered being an expert on their race. You said no. You can't argue that.
Don't.
Yes, it does. Yes, it works. The meaning of a word doesn't change. We take things and make them bad. What race on the planet don't want the best for their race? Why wouldn't every race want the best for their race? Wanting the best for your people is not a problem. I don't think there's an issue with that. I don't think anybody can really find an issue with that. The problem comes in is when I want for mine so bad that I take it from you and yours. I have to keep my foot on the back of your neck to get it. Hence slavery. In all forms, whether it was the slaves of the African Americans, the Native Americans who were slaves, the Jews, you know. Black folk weren't the only ones in slavery. It seemed like we look even historically, saying that black folk were the ones that were the most enslaved and the one that were never given any type of reparations around the world. However, we weren't the only ones enslaved. So that's my point. You should want the best, just like your family. You want the best for your family, and that's fine. But no one can support you wanting the best for your family if it means that everybody in the neighborhood got to bring all their goods and stuff to your house. And everybody in the neighborhood have nothing because you got everything. Now, that's wrong. Or because you want the best for your family, you get to break into other people's houses and take out their stuff. Now, that's wrong. But wanting the best, you know, for yours, and harmony with living with other people, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know? And let me say this to people listening on the air. There's some things that you and I cannot argue. There is a disparity when it comes to race relations in this country. That's not new. That's not something that's really? No, that's not shocking. You know, I've seen this meme and this fact. You know, there were about 12 educators in Chicago, okay, who were indicted. They were indicted, Rook, for grade tampering. You hear this? They were indicted for grade tampering. Say again.
Grade?
Yeah, they were teachers. They were educators. And they were indicted for changing students' grades. Okay? So they could pass some state tests and qualify for some state grants and all of that. They got 20 years apiece. They're all black. All black. 20 years for grave tampering. Jared Fogelman, the spokesperson, the former spokesperson for Subway, had evidence of having inappropriate sexual relations with children. And the minimum he would get is 5 years. He didn't even went to trial yet. you know. And I know that the legal system in Connecticut is different than it is in Harper Woods or in D.C. than it is in Arkansas. I know different segments, different courts, different states. I know some of the Constitution is doesn't change. However, the how it's viewed, the legality, precedent, all these things go into effect with different judges' attitudes, mindsets, prior convictions, previous records, contributing to society. All these things go into an account when a verdict is done by the jury or the judge. I get all of that. I get all of that. So I understand that everything's not universal. We don't have a universal legal system. That's like Judge Dredd, the movie Judge Dredd that you saw. There was not really much interpretation of the law. It was the law says this, and that was enforced. However, all that being said, the reality of it is still this. There's a discrepancy when it comes to the court. Mandatory minimum started a couple of years ago, about 20, 25 years ago. Mandatory minimums, which means if you have 3 ounces of crack in your possession, then you get this many years. The problem with that was black folk carry crack cocaine. White people use regular cocaine. But the sentence for cocaine, 3 grams, is like 12 months. For 3 grams of three grams of crack was like 15 years. It was racially biased. You know, there's a disparity in the court and the law and the land. So we can't argue that. However, Rook, what I am saying is this. What I am saying is this, that we have to live together, man, and to be able to tell me I can't pray for them over there because I should pray for people here, first of all, mean that you don't think I was praying for folk here to begin with because you don't know if I was praying for them or not, you know. But, you know, I had a person tell me just now, you know, we're not saying only Black Lives Matter. Well, guess what? When you don't know, you're not saying only Black Lives Matter, but that's what people hear. People will hear what they want to hear. Rook, we are in for a war where nobody will win. We're in for a terrible time. Yeah. And I don't know if we think our celebrities are going to bail us out. That's not true. You think a lot of these singers and carrying on got a lot of money? No, they got a lot of fame. That's why they're always bankrupt 5 years after they finish singing. Okay? And then the ones with money, listen, they live in compounds. So it will never hit their house. And if it do, they're going to move to a little secluded island they buy. We're in for a major turn. Somebody's pulling some strings, man, and they're getting us to fight each other because other things are going on. And I'm going to keep saying that. And the Lord, take it out of my mouth because that's a problem. We don't engage anything and we just let anything happen. So that's my spill on it.
I can't even follow you, Doc. It's like, what do you do to change that, Doc?
We have to have real conversations. Somebody got to be brave enough to say, hey, you know what? Like you said, you know, it took some bravery for you to say on the air that, you know, all black lives, saying Black Lives Matter is by, you know, it's a little bigoted. You know, in itself, is anti-other races. You know, because, you know, to say that as a black man, black people will look at you like you're crazy. It's going to take that strength of character to change that. Some folk are just following blindly because they are afraid to be persecuted for standing up. You know, I can say all lives matter, as you said, because all lives do matter. However, I can say all lives matter and still point out that black people in this country are being killed by the police and it's like there's no media coverage. All them people, all them babies, 200 people got burned in Somalia a couple of years ago and there's no media coverage. You know, it seemed like society is telling us that one race of people is less valuable than another. But nobody complains that our Mexican-Americans, to try to eke out a living, will do a job. If you did a job, you want $3,000 to do that job. They want to work. They're looking for anything they can get. And so what happens is I won't hire you to do the job for $3,000 when I can hire this book to do it for $500. And so we don't care that they're doing the same amount of work, working as hard as anybody else, but getting crapped on when they come to pay. Because although it, you know, we're so stuck in our own way, the world is more than black and white. It really is. There are other nationalities here. Nobody talks about the Indians and the Native Americans who have this country stole from them. They don't have a month. When is Native American month? They sell them the island of Manhattan for bees, Doc. Bees. Like these beads? Ooh, beads. They gave them blankets and stuff with lice and disease in them to kill it off. You know? Well, the United States did give them their own land here in the country. They have sovereign land, and they do that. People don't know that. Native Americans have some sovereign land here in this country, and they own what they own casinos. So they feel that's reparations. They should make them okay. But what about all of the hundreds of thousands of millions of people that died?
Right.
So, you know, my thing is this. All lives matter because same Native American lives matter only. That's a little one-sided. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The
you walk
true
around,
enemy.
You might wearing that shirt, you'd be like, dang, they kind of racist. But if
you
walk around in a Black Lives Matter shirt,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't feel no kind of way about it, you know?
Now, that's true. Let a person walk around with a shirt that says White Lives Matter. They're bigots. Let a brother or sister walk around with a All Japanese American Lives Matter. Oh, get out of here and go back to where you come from. I was born here. That's true. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. That's very true. That's a great point. That's a great way to end right there. Doc, it's that time. We over. Do what you do.
Well, Doc, I enjoyed today's show. You can catch me and Dr. D live with Dr. D tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Until then, everybody be safe and be blessed. I'm out, y'all.
Have a wonderful, powerful day on purpose. Godspeed.